Chapter 27. Wish Fulfillment. Diana and her students took a bus to an amazing place in the mountains of Kazakhstan, where nature itself scattered bizarre piles of stone pancakes on top of each other, all over the surface of the ground. These figures resembled a sphinx, a sign of Trinity, a bird, or some beast. The travelers followed a narrow mountain road, winding around these marvelous works of nature, heading towards the cave of the saint, where all wishes are granted. On the way, Arthur asked the tutor, "Why can't we fulfill our desires ourselves? And we have to go to the place of power, pray to God, join an egregore, or ask for help from saints and magicians." "The point is," Diana began to explain, "that a person does not have enough energy of his own to achieve the fulfillment of his desires, especially not enough energy of the higher planes, on which this process depends. To make a wish come true, it is necessary to materialize it, i.e., to fill the image of the desired thing with pure positive energy, and then, filling it with more and more coarse energy, to embody this image on the earthly level."
"But it's impossible to do that," Arthur said regretfully. "At least not for a normal person."
"Yes, it is," Diana admitted. "But a person who does a lot of spiritual practices, like a magician or a saint, has a lot of that energy. That's why we have to turn to him to help us. Of course, God, egregore, and the place of power also have a lot of such energy, which is necessary for realization of our desires. That is why an intelligent person, in order to realize his desires, is engaged in spiritual practices. Collective spiritual practices are especially effective for this purpose, because in a group, a powerful field of many people is created, which will help to realize any desires. Besides, it is much easier for a group to connect to God and the egregore than for one person, especially if he is still new in this business. But there is one secret of wish fulfillment." Diana paused and looked around the room with a cheerful gaze. The students, intrigued, were quiet, waiting to hear something truly valuable, to touch sacred knowledge. "The secret is to wish for all beings, not just oneself. It is not without reason that all prayers are said in the plural. For example, Our Father or Holy Trinity, have mercy on us. Because when a person asks for himself, his request is selfish. But when he asks for everyone, his desire becomes more altruistic. The person opens more, becomes more elevated, accepts more subtle and powerful energy. He is more easily included in the egregore and becomes acceptable to God, as he thinks not only about himself. Besides, if a person asks for himself, he becomes like a swamp. Water flows into it and does not flow out. And when he asks for another, he becomes like a clean river. The flow of energy passes through him, and due to this, he helps both himself and others faster. Therefore, a spiritual person who understands these laws is responsible for all his relatives, for all people and beings on earth, because through his development, through spiritual practices, he brings great benefit to everyone. And as a saint, who even after death helps many people who need his help, you, as spiritual people, should realize your responsibility for the happiness and well-being of your loved ones and the whole earth. The more intensely and selflessly you develop, the better it will be not only for you, but also for all people."
"Do all wishes have to be fulfilled?" Ruslan asked. "After all, there are evil and stupid wishes. Why do we need them at all?"
"That's a very wise remark," said Diana. "The essence of all desires is to achieve a state of happiness. Of course, a person needs the most necessary things. Food, a roof over his head, safety, health, to be near a loved one, in the circle of friends and like-minded people, to find the truth, a master, to understand God. And there is nothing wrong in fulfillment of these desires, as they are components of the state of happiness. At least, while we live in a physical body. But the state of happiness itself is 90% of our emotions. And if we are experiencing positive emotions, we are happy at that moment. However,
ignorant people choose a very long and difficult way to achieve their happiness. They decide that they will be happy by having a fancy car, a cottage, traveling to resorts. But when they get it, they quickly get used to it and start wanting even more material goods. Palaces, private airplanes, a minister's chair. This makes achieving their happiness almost impossible. There are those who find an easier way to happiness through drinking and drugs, but this way destroys health and psyche. A person turns into a sick and addicted to the dose. How can that be? Why does a person need chemistry to be happy? Alice asked with sincere incomprehension. It turns out this chemistry activates some forces in the body itself, serves as a catalyst for certain processes that lead a person to a state of happiness. Why can't he turn them on himself, without any doping? That's a very good question, Diana praised the girl. Indeed, the state of happiness is in the person himself, but it is necessary to find the key to it, and this key is spiritual practices. If a person does them constantly and correctly, he gains the key to his happiness and the ability to experience it, regardless of any chemistry. And this key is to nurture positive and sublime emotions. From childhood, a person is accustomed to negativity. They say, "Don't laugh, you will cry." Laughter without reason, a sign of foolishness. Even in church, there is more guilt and sin than the attitude of love and grace of God. And now, we need to wean ourselves from negative emotions and direct all our energy to the positive. Besides, a person should be healthy, so that he has more strength to master the energy practices. The more energy he has, the stronger and more intense he can live the state of happiness and give these vibrations to people around him. While talking, the disciples and the tutor approached the place where the guards were standing, not letting them pass further. It turned out that just today, the president had flown to the place of power to pray to the saint for the fulfillment of his wishes. It was rumored that this was how he had achieved his high position and status. It was rumored that he even wanted to close the place so that he could only receive the blessing of the saint himself. "What faith does this saint belong to?" Angela asked. "There is an ancient legend," Diana began, "which says that in the time of Noah there were three saints, and when the flood came there was not enough space for them in Noah's ark. So they made three rafts, tied them to the ark, and set sail. But there was a storm, and one raft got loose. It was nailed to this place, where the saint settled. So this is a very ancient saint, who lived before the coming of Christ and the rise of the Muslims." So the disciples and tutor waited in conversation, until the president prayed to the saint. Then the guards left, and helicopters took off with a deafening roar. The president flew away, and Diana and her students came to a beautiful lake with crystal clear water. Flowers bloomed all around. Big butterflies flew, and birds sang. It seemed to the people that they had gone to paradise. But the most amazing thing was the state coming from the place where the saint lived. Some strong and very bright power was coming from it, filling everything around. After washing themselves in the lake, the disciples approached the cave in a state of awe, climbed up the mountain on a rope, and began to go inside carefully, one by one. Before entering the wish fulfillment hall, they had to wash their hands and face with spring water accumulated in a tub in front of the entrance. Arthur entered the cave and immediately felt that the light was here, that it was invisibly present and permeated every inch of the surrounding space. All thoughts and desires flew out of his head, and for a while he couldn't even think about anything. But then he was overwhelmed by the state of grace and began to pray to the saint to become perfect like him and to devote his life to serving people to lead them to the light of God. He felt great dedication and responsibility for all his family and friends, that since God had given him understanding and put him on the path of perfection, his task now was to pray for them all and transform their negative karma into God's blessing. At that moment, Arthur was overcome with such power and strength that he felt as if he had been completely transformed, as if enlightenment had come to him. In his exalted state, he staggered out of the cave, and for a long time he could not speak, being in an extraordinary state of light and clarity. Gradually, he came to his senses, and after the Enlightenment, he did not like the state in which he had always lived. He saw his wretchedness and inferiority, and realized that he could not be like that. He had to evolve in order to reach the state he had found in this cave, thanks to the saint. The other disciples also experienced similar unusual states. Alice cried from awe, from contact with the great grace of God. She too decided to serve all the people of the earth.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.